Good evening, everybody. Tonight's dedication is in memory of Rivka Bat Enna, Alea Shalom, on the occasion of Shaloshim by Ezra and Lisa Betesh. We thank all our sponsors for their support. 718-375-1023. For those of you groping for a pen, it's 375-1023. Call the man up, tell him you'd like to dedicate. He will take care of you. Okay. There are themes that recur in the Torah. They come up very often. And from there we know they're important. When Hashem takes the trouble to repeat a principle, it means we should take very close care to not ignore the message. For example, if you read the Torah with good eyes, you'll see bitachon comes up very often. Trusting in Hashem. And there's, of course, in the stories of the Avot, and then the subsequent events throughout Tanakh, we see a principle that not only important, it's one of the keys to living on this earth and understanding what you're doing. The sale of Yosef, the exodus from Egypt, the dispute between Moshe and Korach, Moshe's begging to go into Eretz HaKodesh, is something that constantly brings up this one theme. It's called Midah Keneged Midah. Measure for measure is the English translation. It's probably one of the worst translations I've ever heard. Nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. I don't understand what measure for measure is. I thought that means tall or short. It's not what it means. But then again, that's probably a collegiate term that I don't remember. Measure for measure. Sounds like a Shakespeare play. Let's start, I guess, historically. There's many places we could start. We could probably start from the very beginning. But since we're in the season of Yosef and his brothers occupying such a broad spectrum of parashiyot in the Torah, let's start with Yehuda. Yehuda is one of the children of Leah, one of the leaders of the brothers, and he has a situation where he marries off his children to a woman named Tamar, and the first one dies. According to the laws of Yibum, another great English word, leveret marriage, I don't know what that means. It means the brother has to marry the sister, the wife, if there were no children, to, it says Mikayim, to keep the name of his brother going. So the children really are on the name of the brother, so it's a strange law that the man marries, the brother marries the deceased brother's wife, and because of bad behavior, the young man dies. And so now, second brother also dies. So this woman now is a widow twice. And Yehuda feels that doesn't want to take a chance with his third son. Why should he do that? So he puts it off. tells her, go back to your father, go live over there. And she abides by his wishes and goes there. Several years later, Yehuda's on the road. It's hard to understand, but through the workings of a malach, an angel, and Hashem, he's put in a position where he finds a woman of the night on the road. A kedesha, it says, happens to be, she's not really a woman of the night, it's his daughter-in-law Tamar, and they're together, and in my best biblical English, she becomes with child. I always like that one. She's with child, in fact, twins. And 3 months later, when it starts to show, she's accused of being an unfaithful woman. They considered the Kohanim of the world, the children of Shem, and the law for a Kohen's daughter who is immoral is death by burning. So the Bet Din of Yehuda and Yitzchak and others mete out the judgment. She's guilty. He mutzet, she's being taken out. And she, as her last words before the verdict is carried out, sentencing actually, the death, she sends a headpiece, a walking stick, some personal effects that were left as collateral by Yehuda to the court. And the head of the court was Yehuda, and she says, Haker na, do you recognize these personal effects? They belong to the man who I was with, the father of my children. Yehuda, not caring about his personal embarrassment, says, Tzadika mimeni, she's more righteous than me, I'm the man. These words, Hakerna, are considered by the commentators as midah keneged midah. What does that mean? Measure for measure. Very good. Shakespeare play. Tit for tat. Punishment fits the crime. Because previous to this incident, the brothers led by Yehuda abducted their brother Yosef, threw him into a pit, sold him to some passing caravan. He ended up in Egypt. And they went back to his father after slaughtering a goat and dipping the shirt in the blood. And they told the father, Haker na, do you recognize this garment? It looks like Yosef's. Haker na, Haker na. Oh, the word was used twice. Bingo. Midah keneged midah. I personally don't understand that. Because the way we understand midah keneged midah, we underlings, we simple people, midah keneged midah means, if you did something bad, let's say, with fire, so the punishment should be something with burning. If you did something bad with water, it should be something with wet or drowning. You ate tarev, you should get a toothache. You know, that's midah keneged midah, right? Did you think that before? You thought that before? For sure you thought that way. Everybody thinks the punishment fits the crime. That's midah keneged midah. But let's look at Rashi over here. Very lamdish class tonight. The old eyes ain't seeing where they used to. Yosef HaSadiq, and I must preface this with the fact that he is called the righteous one, and that I have nothing against Art Scroll, Feldheim, or any of the English publishers, but translating these parashiyot, these particular sequences and segments of the Torah is very dangerous just to another language. To use words like hate and jealous, and those kinds of words, love, we unfortunately superimpose upon these giants of the human race our personal understanding of those words. And it's not true, that's not what it means. But let's just look over here. It says that Yosef brought back the Batamra, some snitching. Malshinut, it says in the Halshana, in Rashi, it's a foreign word in Old French, Paloling or something. And it says that he brought back issues to his father. One, that his brothers were treating the brothers of the maidservants, Bilha and Zilpah, like slaves. Second, they were immoral in their behavior with women. And third, they were violating a law of Edom and Achai, that they were not properly slaughtering the animal and allowing it to die 100% before they ate from the meat. And Rashi says, "Ubishloshtam laka," and with all three of the accusations that he made or complaints that he brought back to his father. By the way, these were halachic arguments. Not going to get into it tonight. It's too late. And we have too much else to cover. But it says in Rashi that for each one of the contentions that he had, he got punished. Number one, for Eva min Achai, for the fact that he said they didn't wait for the animal to die before they partook of its flesh. When they sold him, they slaughtered a goat. As far as talking about the brothers calling the other brothers slaves, Le'ebed Nimkar Yosef, he himself was sold into slavery. And for the fact that he accused them of illicit relations, the famous story of Potiphar's secret, the wife with the seduction of the Sadiq, and he had to run off because he was accused of attacking her. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, I understand that this is supposed to be Midah Keneged Midah, the subject of tonight. But I don't understand one of the three. The fact that he got involved with calling them Eved, and he was sold as an Eved, calling them slaves, and he sold, that makes sense. Punishment fits the crime. And the fact that he accused them of illicit relations, and he got involved in this false accusation by this woman, that also, punishment fits the crime. Doing good so far, right? They fit. But the fact that he accused them of eating Eved min Achai, prematurely an animal, for actual death. So they slaughtered a goat and they ate it. They slaughtered it, they barbecued it. Is that a punishment? How did that affect his life? Change his life one way or the other? No. He's in the pit. If they don't slaughter the goat, same thing. To being sold, to being thrown into a pit with snakes and scorpions, the 20 plus years he was in Egypt until his father came down. Yeah, that's a part, but slaughtering the goat? So Chaim Shlomo says, from here we learn a very important principle. Midah keneged midah does not necessarily mean the punishment fits the crime. But there is something that will be done to that person that will indicate to the person you've sinned in this area and you better work on it, fixing it. So when the words Hakena come to Yehuda, it's much easier to understand than the situation with Yosef. Because when the words Hakena come to Yehuda, it rings a bell. And he says, I remember those words, Hakena, when I myself, as the leader of my brothers, participated in the scheme of convincing our father that we didn't kill Yosef, a wild animal killed him. Now I'm paying. Hashem got me. It's to teach the sinner where he or she went wrong. That's what Midah Keneged Midah is for. You know, in older days, it was simpler times, and people did much less that was wrong according to the Torah, so maybe they were able to figure things out better. We would lead like Midah Keneged Midah, like a computer, to give us all the hints we need for all the things that we do wrong in a day. I'm only talking about myself. I know you guys are all great. But if you just think about it, I mean, I don't know how Midah Keneged Midah could work today, but let's just keep everything in focus. Let's look at the Gemara. Mishnah in Masechet Sotah. That woman who secluded herself with a man who she was warned not to be secluded with. B'midah she'adam moded ba, modedim lo. In the measure that a person behaves, that's how they treat him. He kishutat atzma la'avera. She got dressed in a fashion to prepare herself to do the sin. You know what they do to her? They take off her head covering. They rip her top down to her waist. They expose her in front of crowds of people in the area of the Beit HaMikdash, one of the holiest areas on earth. Hi gilita tasma la'avera makom gila alea. Everything down the line. But if we look at the Gemara, it says, "Miyom shechara bet hamikdash, afapi shebat lesanedri, abamito lo batlu." Even though the Bet Hamikdash, with its destruction, came also the nullification of the high court of the Jews called the Sanhedrin, which is the only court, 23 or 71, that was able to do capital punishment, and there were four famous ways the Jewish court would kill, depending on what the Torah commanded. There was stoning, burning, I guess choking, different ways to die. But there were four types. The four types are not gone. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha batle?" There's no more court. These things don't exist anymore. And the Gemara says, well, it's true there's no verdict in the court with a sentence like that. But Hashem takes care of it, that a person who should be subject to one of the punishments dies in a way that's in fitting with that punishment. For example, Mishnit Chayav Sekila. Sekila is called stoning. Stoning meant being thrown off a high place. Onofer menagag, either falls off a roof, or chayadur sato, a wild animal, rips the person to shreds. Lo aleinu. Mishet chayav serefa, somebody would be burnt by the court. Onofer udedekah, either dies in a fire, or is bitten by a poisonous snake which burns. Mishet chayav hariga, someone who would be killed by the sword. Onim salam achut, will be arrested by a Goy government. Well, the steam behind a lot. We're killed by gangsters. Mishin chav chanika, choking. O tovea banahar, o met besoronchi. Drowns in a river, or dies by some choking type of lung disease. The punishments are still there. And they match up to what would have been meted out. Is that Midah Keneged Midah? Yes. That's Midah Keneged Midah. So now we see two separate explanations of what Midah Keneged Midah is. One, it's a wake-up call. And two, it's a punishment that fits the crime. Let's look at Moshe and Korach. Korach was a rebellious person. He was spiritually unbelievably high. He had unbelievable yichus, good family, from the family of the first cousin of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the richest Jew in the desert. Yosef hid the three storehouses of wealth that Paro had accumulated during the years of famine, and one of them was found by Korach. So with all the wealth the Jews accumulated, he had an extra storehouse of wealth from the days of Yosef. Getting into Fort Knox. Is there still a Fort Knox? Must be, right? I guess. Yeah, that's where the money comes from. All you Americans, that's where your money comes from. And he comes with a dispute against Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, if you read the story, it sounds like a man comes and he's rebelling. It sounds like, Lahavdil, like an election. He said this, they said that. He tried to make him look badly. Not true. Korach was a Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. Aaron HaKohen was a Levi. Korach watches as Moshe takes royalty. He's the king of the Jews. Aaron becomes the Kohen Gadol. The next highest position. The next position would be the leader of the tribe of Levi. And he was from the older brother. He's basically in line. If you go by genealogy, he's next. And instead, a younger cousin is chosen. And he doesn't want it for wealth. He has wealth. He doesn't want it for glory. He has glory. He wants it because with it comes spiritual greatness. It's another rung in the major leagues of spirituality. And he wants it. When he comes and creates a revolt and all, he went about it the wrong way. He approaches Moshe. Moshe tells them, Rav Lachem ben Elevi. You have plenty. You're Leviim. You have special position. What do you want more for? Of course, the story is told. The ground opens up and swallows them. Moshe's sovereignty is established through Hashem's miracle. Years later, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to give the reins over to Yoshua. And the decree that he should not enter Eretz Yisrael is hanging over his head. So he prays by Hanan 515 prayers to Hashem, begging him, please let me go into the Beit HaMikdash, into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is, "Vechi peroteu tzarich?" Does he want to eat fruit? He doesn't want the fruit. What does he want? What does Moshe Rabbeinu want? There's many, many mitzvot I can't do in the desert. You can only do in Eretz Yisrael. As far as the fruits, as far as the produce, build the Beit HaMikdash, complete the cities of refuge, Arei Miklat. A lot of mitzvot he couldn't do. So he begs for the opportunity to rise in spirituality through performance of mitzvot in the Holy Land. Sound familiar? Hashem tells him, Moshe, Rav Lach, you have plenty. Don't talk to me anymore about this. Bing, 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 bing. Years before you told Korach and the people of Rav Lachem, you have plenty. What do you want more spirituality for? That's called Midah Keneged Midah. In simpler terms, Gemara Berachot tells us, Yisurim by Malav, Yipashperish b'Maasav. If a person finds things are not going well, if I could put it mildly, because Yisurim could also mean putting your hand in your pocket or your purse to get a quarter for the meter and pulling out a dime. You know, really, if we didn't have Yisurim, you would open a Sefer to the right page every time. Not, wow, I got the right page, once every 4 or 5 years. Yisurim is when you have to turn the pages looking for the place. But the fact of the matter is, there are other types of Yisurim, much more serious. And when a person suffers Yisurim, a person should know, it's a signal. Check out your behavior. Maybe it's something that requires burning, something that requires, maybe it's your mouth, maybe it's your eye, maybe it's your finger. What is it that I have to correct? Because nothing is willy-nilly. Nothing is just by chance. Midah keneged midah is Hashem's system to warn the person that all is not well, you have a job to do, fix it. It could be through a sign, a word, an event, but the person now flashes on the correct area. Or it could be, lo aleinu, could be that a person has to suffer because they didn't get the message. Could have been a haker na. It could have been a rav lachem. Or it could be a broken leg. Or banging a finger with a nail. With a hammer as you nail it in. You know, the Gemara Chulin tells us on Daf Zayin, a person is not nokef etzba. They don't bang a finger down here in this world unless machrizim alab, unless they announce it up in Shamayim first. I was always bothered why it says machrizim. They announce it in Shamayim. It should be they decree in Shamayim. A judgment comes down in Shamayim. Something. No, it's not the way it works. Machrizim. Well, our sages teach us that every part of the body corresponds to a mitzvah. 248 and 365, 613. And so, maybe Machrizin, he's going to bang his finger because, you know what he did with that finger? Something wrong. He's going to bite his tongue. You know why? Oh, what he said with that tongue. Here's a beauty. Root canal. Because of what she ate. Simplistic way of looking at it. But very true. Something to point to the area of flaw so it could be fixed. So that's your introduction to Midah Keneged Midah. There's many examples that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings. There's other Sefarim that I looked into on the subject. And they pretty much follow Eshet Lot turning into a pillar of salt because she went next door and said, "You have some salt? I have guests." And she knew they'd come to kill them. Yeah, something like that. You knew that one before? That's why she turned into salt. But I want to take you in another direction now. I had a question. The question was as follows. Pay attention. We have bulletin boards. We get instant messages. We get text messages on our phone. We get emails. There's even those message boards in the back seat of the taxi. You get on the elevator. We get news in a lot of ways, right? I mean, wherever you go, you're being bombarded with messages. Hashem has access to all the technology. Wouldn't it be simpler if we just got a message and says, you did this with your finger. You, hey, take care of it. Nice, clear, direct message. Ablachem, I can't, I got to figure it out. Maybe I'll get it right. I might fix my finger. It's the left hand, not the right hand. I might not eat this. I go on a diet. I'll lose 5 pounds. I didn't eat because I was afraid of my root canal. No! Why not a direct message? Why, in other words, why did Hashem create the system of midah keneged midah to tell me something I could have been informed in a more direct way? Is that the question? I think it's because Hashem wants to accomplish two things with this midah keneged midah. The first, of course, is that wake-up call. And that fits the crime type of message. But I think there's something else involved. Hashem doesn't want people to feel that the world is hefker. Everybody know what hefker is? Hefker? Okay. Hefker means something that's ownerless. If someone throws out an old computer, leaves it on the curb in the public domain, leaves it on a park bench on Ocean Parkway, and gives up all rights to it, that's called hefker. And whoever comes along can take it. Right? That's hefker. Hefker, halachically, is very important. Because it lets you know if somebody finds something and keep it. Let's say a person loses something, and a person is looking for it and hasn't given up yet. The one who finds it may not have a right to it as yet. They may have more of a responsibility to return it. Yet, if the person gives up all hope, yeush, it makes the item ownerless, hefker, and the next one to pick it up legally owns it. So, is the world hefker?
No.
That was a rhetorical question. I don't want an answer. Is the world hefker? I don't think so. Do you? Well, if you think, let me give an example. A person who's not of the finest upbringing and not the most honest walks in to a New York City finer department store in July. An eye is a beautiful timepiece that the thief would love to have on his or her arm or wrist. However, there's not too many customers. There's an overabundance of sales help, security, and other store personnel around the watch counter. And the salesperson takes out one at a time and returns it to its proper place behind lock and key before the next one is taken out. So the thief goes out and buys a hot dog on the corner. Doesn't know what time it is. But then comes December. Hanukkah. Other days that require shopping. And everybody's out there shopping their brains out. And the sales help has been increased, but it's never enough. And the counters are flying. Can anybody to wait on you? So salespeople are waiting on two people at once. And the security people may be around, but they're hard to see because there's so many customers walking back and forth. And all of a sudden, the same thief walks into that store, eyes a timepiece they like, and this time, as a lady asks a question on one side of the counter, the watch is left on the other side of the counter, and whoosh, it's glommed right up the armpit, and she starts walking out of the store with the watch underneath the armpit. The whole store is hefker. This place is out of whack, it's out of control, I can do what I want, right? And she gets to the door, 34th and 7th, what? The long arm of the law brings her back to security. And says, excuse me, you're under arrest. Me? For what? For the watch that's under your armpit. May I have it, please? What watch? And as they remove the watch surgically from her armpit, they show the videotape that the camera, the security camera, caught her in the act. Welcome to her day in court. She thought so much was going on that the store is hefker, it's out of control, I could take what I want, do what I want. Yet there was a camera watching. You see, sometimes more honest people and more intelligent people than that thief get the impression that there's so much going on this lovely planet which we inhabit that maybe nobody's watching, maybe it's hefker, and I could do what I like. Right? Wrong. Ayin ro'ah ve'ozen shomat ve'akol basefer nechtavim. There's an eye watching, there's an ear listening, and everything's written in the book. How do we know? Years, days, months, I don't know. After Yehuda sends a message to Yaakov, Hakerna, do you recognize this shirt? The woman says, Hakerna, this stick? Dam, da, dam, dam. Years after Moshe says, Rav Lachem, you have enough spirituality. Hashem says, Rav Lach, you have enough. Example after example can be brought that there is a midah keneged midah and there's a control. Someone's in charge named Hashem. And if I run the world through this cause and effect, this midah keneged midah type of message, maybe you'll have it on your mind rather than thinking, it's December, I could shop without money, without plastic, without debits. Just shop. And without the new item, gift cards. You know how tight the control is? Get this one. You all know the story of the baker and the wine steward? We learned it as children, didn't we? Yosef is in jail. He's very successful there. The warden even lets him be in charge of all the other prisoners. One day, the royal wine steward is thrown in the clinker. I guess, not by chance, that the royal baker was also thrown into the slammer. One morning, Yosef notices long faces on both of them. Concern, you know, the eyebrows touching in the middle. What's the matter, guys? You know what's the matter? We had dreams and they were very upset. We don't understand them. So he interprets the dreams, one favorably and one not so favorably. In fact, as bad as it could be. The wine steward will return to his place in the government, serving the king, and the baker will be hung. Rashi doesn't waste ink. Rashi doesn't comment on things that don't need commenting. And it was after these events, we always say, I've got arrested, he took over the prison, that the royal wine steward and the royal baker sinned to the king. And he put them in jail. It's very interesting, by the way. She over here says, what does it mean after these events? Such a great insight. Nothing to do with tonight's class. We're just, we're on the page. Why miss it? He says, you know why this happened right after Yosef got arrested and thrown in jail? Because he was the hot topic. And he's a tzaddik. And Hashem didn't want him, people talking about him. And people only like the latest scandal. So let's make a new scandal so people won't talk about Yosef. The words are, that cursed woman had the whole town talking about poor Yosef and his indiscretion, so to speak. Hashem brought them another scandal. So they'll talk about them and not him. Only the hot news, you know? So now, he tells us what they did wrong. What did they do wrong? How did they get arrested? You know how they got arrested? You don't know. You don't know. I'll tell you. Only because you come every Monday. That's what I'm going to tell you. There, nimsa zivuv bepaile pitorim shelo. There was one, the wine steward, a fly was found in the cup of wine that he served the king. Go to jail. Tanah pesko. Next, what happened with the baker? A pebble was found in the pita bread. Go to jail. Do not collect $200. Look at that. Now, did you ever ask yourself, does it matter? Is it so crucial to our understanding of life, to people 3,500 years later, why these two bums were arrested? They were arrested, and we know they were arrested as a vehicle for Hashem to use to get Yosef out of jail. You know the story, right? So what's the difference if they're arrested for stealing change from a parking meter or for driving while talking on a cell phone? Who cares? Do you care? Moish, do you care? Do you care? You? You? Why do you care? What's the difference to that? Is that a lesson of the Torah that the guy got busted for this instead of that or that instead? The main idea is they went to jail, they had a dream, that was the vehicle Hashem used to get Moshe Yosef out of jail. I don't care why they were arrested, and Rashi wastes his holy ink to tell me one served a cup with a fly in it and one served bread with a pebble in it. I thought about this a lot. You never thought about this. You got to think about these things. You never think about this? It's very important. Rashi writes it. It's important. You give classes. Did you ever think about that question? No, you can't. Why do we care? Pebble, fly, parking meter, cell phone. Do not turn right on red. No U-turn. What's the difference? They go to jail. They have a dream. Yosef gets out. No, but okay, that's the reason they're in jail, but you care why they went to jail? No, I'll tell you the reason. Lefi aniyat dati, according to my humble thought processes. You ever been to a kitchen? Too often, I know. You're in a kitchen. Let's go to a Mediterranean country, Greece, Eretz Israel, or how about wonderfully clean Egypt? Right? You're in a kitchen, it's a hot day, they're chopping up the meat for lunch, for the barbecue, they're baking, there's sugar, there's honey, there's fruits, vegetables, and he flies. They're flying all over the place. You go like that to your nose, he goes around, he lands on your ear. You swat your ear, he goes around, he lands on the table. You swat him off the drink, he goes on the salad. Right? Fly. Who can control a fly? Hello! Who put the fly in the cup? Hashem! The fly is working for Hashem. Hashem has a plan. And that fly, in all its ups and downs and all arounds, must end up in that cup. So that man goes to jail. So Yosef goes out of there. Pay attention, it's a fly. Who thinks about a fly? I got a better one. At least the fly moves. Who put the rock in the bread? Hashem! He's got galaxies and stars and eons and eons of light. And he's got plants and trees and fish and people and pregnancies and health and death and infinity. He's got all this stuff to take care of. He's putting a pebble in a pita bread. And this guy in the department store thinks nobody's looking. Don't be crazy. Don't be dumb. Everything is Hashem. Every little detail. And that's what he wants you to know from Midah Keneged Midah. Ha'olam eno hefker. The world is not ownerless. Hashem ha'aretz u'mlo'ah. It's mine. You do good, you get rewarded. You do bad, you get punished. I'm watching, I'm weighing, I'm doing, I'm controlling. The pebble was a messenger from Hashem. You don't have to have a long white beard and a long white coat and speak in funny tones. Hello, I've come to bring the message of Hashem. No, you can be a pebble in a pita. That's the message of Midah Keneged Midah. The world is not hefker. Shape up. Hashem is watching. Machrizim. Every grass has an angel that tells it to grow. Every finger that bangs was decided in Hashem and Shamayim. Every fly, every spider, every ant has a mission. in Hashem's plan. And nobody gets away with anything. Midah keneged midah was put in place just to show us. He could have given us a direct text message. Could have flashed on your computer, I am. No, instead, I'm going to run the world with a lot of connections between things, so it'll be so intricate that you'll know this is not by chance. You got it? Good, I'll see you next week.